Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us this morning is the mayor of Lewisville, T.J. Gilmore, who's also the vice president of strategic partnerships with the North Texas Commission. How you doing, T.J.?
I'm doing great. How are you, Chris?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It was great meeting you a couple of weeks ago. And ever since we met, I was like, I've got to get you on the show because you are a wealth of information about the growth of the North Texas area. And in fact, your role with the North Texas Commission is making me feel like you have ideas about what the future may hold around here. Am I right or wrong on that?
There is a lot going on in the North Texas region, and I'm really excited to be in the position I am to be able to help with managing the growth and actually helping people get on board with the vision that that North Texas has and will continue to have for the foreseeable future.
For those who don't know very much about the North Texas Commission, you guys convene, educate public and private sector leaders to ensure that the state and federal policies promote strong local governments, support excellence in public schools, increase skilled workforce pipelines, and safeguard thriving business environment. With that being said, it's like the fingerprints of the North Texas Commission are all over everything, including DFW Airport, right?
Well, and I think the key here is that I don't know if we're all over everything, but we're definitely very focused on what's going to continue to make DFW successful into the future. If I don't have a good workforce, if I don't have strong education, if I don't have a great business environment, and if I don't have good political conversations about policy, then we could dry up and blow away. We're very unique in that we're the only inland port. We don't have an ocean or something water wise to tie into, and so usually entities like North Texas don't exist unless they're a Los Angeles or a New York or a Chicago or a Houston. And yet here we are.
Here we are, the fourth largest region in the United States, and I see about 8.5 million people live here, one of the fastest growing regions in the country.
Yes, sir.
And basically zipping our way to the top three, 15 cities in this area, in these counties, with a population of more than 100,000 each.
We are absolutely right.
And it's like you got a strong, diverse economy, a positive future trajectory. It's unique. With the organization that it serves, we're talking about the North Texas Commission, and we're talking about all the different things. I mentioned DFW Airport. It's like the North Texas Commission helped facilitate not only the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, but it also did Alliance. They also helped with the rapid transit between Fort Worth and Dallas. I could go on and on and on. And then you were telling me last week, or you were telling this panel, we were talking to a crowd, that the North Texas Commission coined the phrase Metroplex. 1971,
absolutely.
Right?
Yep, that was step number one. I mean, part of why we were created originally was to actually get the idea of DFW Airport up off the ground and be able to convene those conversations, get those stakeholders all in a room together. Because I don't know if you've noticed, Chris, but there's quite a bit of sibling rivalry between Dallas and Fort Worth.
And
it's been that way for a while, right?
Right.
And so being able to create an entity, I think the fathers of this region were very, very insightful, and they knew that there needed to be some sort of third party to help work through that so that we could create what is obviously an amazing economic engine, which is the DFW Airport.
You know, so wild about this, you mentioned the sibling rivalry, so to speak, between Dallas and Fort Worth. Both cities are very proud of their being completely different. Like Fourth is where the West begins in Cowtown, and they're proud of that tradition and that history. And Dallas is like a business economic center. It's like we're all about business, and they have they've got different kind of styles, but they work well together. But like you said, somebody had to say, okay, guys, everybody, let's see if we can't work something out for the entire region. And
I think
that's what the North Texas Commission, one of the best things that they have done. Just to give people an idea of how large this area is, and see, I'm looking at your website, which is absolutely amazing with all the information on it. The North Texas area, it's like 9,000 square mile, 13 county region. I mentioned before, 8.5 million people, has 150 cities in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, 15 of those cities with more than 100,000 people in them.
Yep.
And let's see, here's another one. Put it in perspective, the area of North Texas, the population is larger than 13 states. And the GDP would be ninth in the country in between New Jersey and Georgia. We're just talking about North Texas, not the entire state of Texas.
Not the entire state. No, if you talk about the entire state, you're talking about the eighth largest economy in the world. You're talking just a tremendous powerhouse of economy. And I don't know, you've probably been around, maybe some of your listeners as well, but you probably remember, you know, the oil busts, the boom and bust cycle that used to impact the entirety of the state. Mm-hmm. You know, North Texas doesn't have that anymore. We are massively diversified in what we do. You know, 30% of what we do is based on services. We've got a huge percentage of what we do up here that is focused around industrial applications. We've got chip manufacturing. We've got great financial services entities coming in. In fact, when you talk about that eighth largest economy in the world, a third of that is here in DFW.
Wow. A third of that. And they're steadily adding more major corporations moving here.
Every day.
Amazon, Google, Uber. I could go on and on and on. It's not, you just can't say, well, the Silicon Valley is San Francisco Bay Area or down in Austin. It's here in North Texas as well.
Well, we do have a name out there. We have a name for this area called the Silicon Prairie. So
like that.
It's, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there. But no, you're right. People think of Austin or they think of California before they necessarily think about DFW. But we have a huge, huge presence in the chip and IT spaces.
We're talking with TJ Gilmore. Not only is he the mayor of Louisville, and by the way, Mayor Gilmore, you want me to call you Mayor Gilmore? I like to call you TJ because you're such a great guy and you're like an easy person to talk to. But you're also
I'm not a big one on titles, Chris. I'm here to talk to people.
Exactly. Very, very accessible. As your role of as Vice President of Strategic Partnerships, which particular areas are you your fingers prints on? What areas are you more focused on? Because, you know, that's a large business there, the North Texas Commission. I say business. It's a nonprofit as well.
Yeah. I would say, you know, we're very focused on what's going to impact the community. So, for example, coming up here next year, you may have heard of this little thing called the World Cup.
I think I heard it somewhere. A little birdie told me. Yeah.
Yeah. World Cup. And so we're definitely interested and involved in how do we create a playbook that allows the entire region to kind of sing from the same hymnal, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're going to, you know, a mayor is going to emphasize their community or they're going to talk about the things that maybe are more specific to them, as they should. But they also want to be able to let people know and understand that we're just one part of the region and that these are the things that make us such a compelling place to start a business or move your family or, you know, even just come by for tourism. So that to me, I think is going to be really important because we're going to be out there on the world stage. And how do we give people the best impression that we're going to be able to while they're here? So I'm excited about that. We actually had one of our consul generals in here talking about international trade and how to better position DFW in that space to bring in more foreign consulates and more trade agreements. One of the challenges, I mean, it's our strength, but it's also our challenge is, you know, as you said, 150 cities. You know, I've got 15 that are over 100,000 in that mix. I've got Dallas and Fort Worth and Plano and Arlington. When we talk about, you know, big cities, Frisco, McKinney, So how do I make that mix of people? Who do I talk to? If I'm coming from overseas,
right?
Who do I talk to? And where is it the best position for me in my particular business? And it may be Dallas, it may be Fort Worth, or it may be a combination. I could be an executive and live in a South Lake or a Castle Hills, mm-hmm. and my business might be near the airport in an Irving or a Grapevine because of the logistics, or it might be over in the Alliance Corridor. Mm-hmm. Just depending on what you want to do, it's not just one monolithic thing here, right? So it's really, how do you navigate that differently than just going and saying, hey, I'm Austin or Houston?
Can you talk a little bit, TJ, about the fact is this is not just like one Super Bowl game that's coming to North Texas like it did in 2010. It's going to be like several games that's going to be played at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, and Chris, I'm gonna bow to your sports expertise over mine, because you've been in that space a lot longer than I have. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's going to be multiple Super Bowls next year, yeah. And people just, I don't think North Texans are quite ready for that. So we gotta help with that too, because when you got extra traffic, you got people that you're not used to, you got all that stuff, there might be an opportunity to get a little frustrated. And I think it's incumbent on the leadership in North Texas to let our residents know that, hey, this is an opportunity to make sure your patio's clear and you got a couple extra cold beers to mm-hmm. welcome the world here.
Exactly, because the world will be coming. We're talking about all kinds of fans from all over the world, and we don't know exactly which country is going to make it to the semifinals and the finals or whatnot, but we know that they're going to be representing, and there's an economic impact for the North Texas area all the way down to, vendors, small businesses, Uber drivers. I could go on and on and on because there's so many people coming in, the hotel and like I said, the hotel business as well. So
yeah.
I know you've got some data and I know you got some information on that, but like you said, it's buckle up time for a lot of businesses, because this is a chance to take advantage of this.
It is. I mean, and you look at, roughly 99.9% of businesses in Texas are small businesses. Mm-hmm. And so it's really incumbent on those small businesses. Maybe they'll have that viral moment when they're here. But there's going to be a lot of opportunity for not just big corporations, but for our local small Texas businesses to really shine.
Also, the world media will be here, because the North America media headquarters will be at the Dallas Convention Center. And we're talking about the media from the entire world will be located here, and they'll either go back and forth to the other World Cup sites around the country and in North America. But the headquarters is going to be right here.
Right. And that's I think kind of goes back to what the North Texas Commission is excited to be able to help with, is what does that messaging look like when you're talking, you're going to be, you're going to be an elected official, you're going to be a mayor, you're going to be a shop owner, and somebody's going to pop in from overseas and put a camera on you. You want to talk about what's going on in North Texas, what makes us different, what makes us great. So I want to make sure that everybody in North Texas that has that opportunity has at least a little bit of a playbook to get them started, so they're not, deer in the headlights, and so they can take the most advantage of that opportunity when we're here greeting the world.
Mayor Gilmore, put on your mayor hat for a minute. And by the way, I heard you like hats a lot. Like, you have a collection of hats.
I have a little thing going on with hats. That's very true.
Very good. Very good. Well, let's put on your mayoral hat for a minute.
You got it.
City of Louisville is growing, is booming, got the big lakes, a lot of people moving out that way. What are some of the biggest challenges you have in that part of the North Texas countryside?
I don't know if it's unique to Louisville, but I think the challenge with everything that's going on with the amount of growth in North Texas is, how do you stay true to your identity while managing the growth? Because the growth's going to come.
That's right.
You're not going to stop it. We are very, when you talk about land use and that, Texas is very much a property rights state. So you get to do with your property what you want to do. And so being able to just shut the door is not really an option. And that, there is definitely a streak of, not in my backyard, or I don't want it here, I don't want anything mm-hmm. to change. But change is the one constant thing you're going to have here in North Texas. And so helping your constituents, helping your neighbors manage that, helping to add that new stuff while keeping the flavor of the old. I'll give you a really good example of this, Chris. We've been working on Old Town Lewisville. And if you haven't been to Old Town Lewisville recently, you need to come by. There's a lot of folks that remember Old Town Lewisville from, you know, when they were growing up, and there's some nostalgia there. And I get that. But I also know that when I moved here to North Texas in the early 2000s, Old Town, people didn't go there. It was mostly boarded up. Mm-hmm. People were scared to be there after dark. And the city council at the time said, you know, we're going to reinvest it. And we put a brand new city hall down there in 2003, 2004. We put an arts center down there. We did a couple of economic development deals to put some more multifamily down there. Mm-hmm. And now we've got what's really becoming a great mixed use space. It's got a ton of activity. But I have, you know, some of the folks that maybe been there for a while going, well, this doesn't look at all like what I remember as a kid. Well, no, it doesn't. But what you remember as a kid and what happened as a kid was that there was the heartbeat of that region of the Metroplex. You know, people mm-hmm. came there, they brought their farm goods there. Everybody congregated there because there weren't shops everywhere. You know, it was mm-hmm. the downtown. And when that went away, you know, what we had to do is we had to figure out, okay, what's the core there? Well, it was the people and the interactions. And well, how do we create that in today's world with today's economics, with everybody using Amazon, that kind of mm-hmm. thing? And so, you know, that takes a lot of time and effort to think about, okay, how do I use the growth to recreate the interactions that people had that made Old Town great? And I think if you come back to Old Town, you come down and you see Odin Leather Goods. You see all of our bridal boutiques that are down there. You see Sullivan's Barbecue. Mm-hmm. You're going to come back and say, man, this is a great downtown area. This is the kind of place there's activities, there's things going on. I'm excited to be back down here again. And I know our Lewisville residents are seeing that.
Oh, yeah. And all you're trying to do is make sure that that area thrives and survives. It doesn't become boarded up.
And yeah, it doesn't get boarded up. And on the flip side, doesn't gentrify where people can't live there anymore.
Right. Exactly. It's like
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
And it's a balancing act. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's one of the challenges. Again, a lot of different cities or small towns in the North Texas area are trying to navigate. And like I said,
absolutely,
Lewisville is doing a great job with that. And I also want to ask you about the lake itself, because Lake Lewisville is a popular tourism destination, especially in the summertime. A lot of big boats out there, people tying up the boats together, they're partying. Party Cove is legendary over there. What are some of the challenges or one of the things that are most interesting to you about having Lewisville being an area where a lot of people go to in the summertime, whether it's just for a day or maybe it's for the weekend? What are those opportunities and situations with Lake Lewisville itself that are interesting to you?
Well, you know, first of all, Lewisville Lake is a great opportunity. I mean, that water, you know, it's Corps of Engineers, Dallas Water Utilities. When we talk about the function of the lake, right, it's a holding tank for water, which, you know, as we continue to grow, water's going to people coming to Texas aren't bringing their own roads. They're not bringing their own water. We got to be able to work with that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful opportunity. And it's a wonderful benchmark. I think what has happened over the years, at least in Lewisville, is that we've kind of stepped away from the lake over the years. Lake Park is you know, kind of was our premier park, and it's getting a little long in the tooth. So I think what a lot of folks listening might be real excited to hear about is that we have a redevelopment plan going on, and we're reinvesting. Our residents recently approved a bond that are going to allow us to completely rebuild. And some of the folks that are working on the Dallas Convention Center are mm-hmm. actually doing some of the work for us on the planning of this. But our goal is that we're going to have an amazing premier space there on the lake that people will be able to, you know, boat up and have a dinner. They'll be able to, you know, maybe stay in some cabins or yurts out on the side. We'll have a small hotel. more retail in the area. So we're really excited about that plan that's coming online because we think it's going to give people a lot more opportunity to really, you know, have that lake life. We've also got a rail station right there. And so we may see additional transit oriented development where people can, you know, live, work and play right there next to the lake.
What's so amazing about lakes in the state of Texas, for those who don't know, there's only all of them are man-made. This state is huge, and every lake is man-made except for Lake Cato, which is over there by Louisiana. It's like right borders. But every one of them has been made by people, including Lake Louisville. It's always mind-boggling to me because there's so many beautiful and spectacular lakes all over North Texas. And some of them, like I said, you just don't know until you go out and see it, and you go, wow. And then I, in the back of my brain, I'm like, and that's man-made. It just blows my mind.
Well, that's one of the things, you know, that's so great about living in North Texas, and especially what I love about Louisville is you can go to Louisville Lake and have that lake life that you want. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, go to our Louisville Lake Environmental Learning Area, which is right south of the dam, and you can hike in nature. You can see bald eagles. You can see all sorts of native prairie restoration, or you can have more of an urban lifestyle setting if you want. It's great to have the resource available, so many different people can have so many different ways that they live their life. It's one of the beauties of North Texas.
Yes, sir. We're talking with TJ Gilmore. He is the mayor of Louisville, but he's also the vice president of strategic partnerships with the North Texas Commission. And I'm looking up at the history of, you know, the North Texas Commission and all the different things over the years that they've been a part of. And when people hear the phrase infrastructure, they usually say, oh, the roads that haven't gotten built yet, or the roads they're still working on. The North Texas Commission helps these roads get widened. I mean, there's different things that the conglomeration of the different organizations that you're a part of. But like this, it's made up of so many unique things that it's able to help this whole area grow, not totally seamlessly, but as you mentioned, it's not like it's the, you know, New York City or just LA. It's all these different communities.
Right. No, it's you know, one of the things I think North Texas gets right, and I think we've grown into it, is that we're really good at planning and then following through on plans. Mm-hmm. And we do that through agencies like the North Texas Commission. But I also have to give a shout out to the North Central Texas Council of Governments. They are a quasi-political entity that handles a lot of the federal funding that comes to Texas. But if you want to spend federal dollars, first of all, you've got to be able to spend it in a timely fashion, or they want it back because somebody else is going to be able to use it. But second of all, you got to have a plan so that they know what they're funding. And I think we have such a great collaborative spirit here in North Texas. You know, I have this phrase I use. It's called co-opetition. A friend of mine coined it a few years ago. But it's that balance between cooperation and competition, right? We know that at the end of the day, one city or one area might get a win, but that's a win for everybody if it's done right. And so I love that. I love fostering that conversation. How do we create those win-wins within the region? And, you know, not every town in DFW is going to win everything, nor should it. Every town has got its own identity, right? And just like you said at the beginning, Dallas and Fort Worth, very different entities. Mm-hmm. But again, if they bring something to the table, they're going to grow the whole area. And I think that's critically important that, you know, we continue to have these organizations and these conversations where people can sit down, get around a table, and it's not this us versus them. It's a we. It's not an either or an or. It's an and.
It's an and. Yeah, I love it. In fact, just to piggyback off of what you're saying, when you and I met a couple of weeks ago, it was at the Collab Lab just off of SMU, and it was put together by Project Unity and Pastor Richie Butler, and I thought that was a nice collaborative effort as well. And speaking of all these collaborations and convenings, you guys have a lot of different, I'll call them opportunities for people to learn things.
Yes.
The convening things. Can you talk about some of like the NTX Connects and the DFW International Collective and the NTC 54th Annual Meeting? The infrastructure side of those things.
We have a full calendar. Let's go this route, Chris, because I could spend a lot of time talking about all the different stuff. But I think the key is you can actually head over to our website.
There you go.
And that's ntc-dfw.org. And if you go to our website, or just Google North Texas Commission, you go to our website, you can find how to get involved. And there are so many ways and reasons to get involved in North Texas that I would challenge you to find an area that we're not having meaningful conversations mm-hmm. about policy and direction for, whether that's international trade, whether it's water, whether it's utilities, whether it's business diversity. You name the topic, and if it's important to North Texas, we pretty much have some way for you to get involved. And if you feel like there's a conversation that's not happening that needs to, let me know, because that's what we do. We help get the right people in a room so that we can have those conversations. Because at the end of the day, it's not just about talking, it's about making things better for North Texans. And if we can convene the right people, we can make sure that that happens.
I want to know, since you're married, how you have time for your family, because seriously, TJ, you're really every place at a lot of different times. I guess I'm assuming you're very organized. And I think you know, I think your wife is very, very. She understands what your career is.
My wife is very understanding. She's a saint. In fact, I call her my better two thirds.
What about the three kids?
People ask, is she your better half? I'm like, no, she's my better two thirds.
There you go.
I've got three great kids, the love of my life. They're all recent graduates, two from Texas Tech, one from Babson, they're out making their way in the work world today, which is awesome. And so, you know, I've got a little more time to be able to go out and do that kind of stuff. But when we talk about like the elected official stuff, that kind of thing that I've been doing, I always had to win unanimously at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Well, we would sit down and we'd talk about, hey, are you want to be involved with this, or you want to do that? Is this okay or not? And if I didn't get, you know, four votes at that table for one of these crazy things I was going to go do, it wouldn't get done.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, holding the family first. Right. But you know, there comes a time where dad and dad jokes, it's like, you know what? We've had enough of you in the house. Why don't you go do the thing you do?
Right, right. Well, like I said, you do a lot of great things. And like I said, you're really a great guy to explain things. I think people can understand what's going on when the messenger, and that's you, can relate to everybody. And that's why I want to also ask you, you're, like I said, you ran for mayor and you won again. So you're two-time mayoral, back-to-back mayor terms in Louisville. What made you decide to run for mayor? Because, again, you're not the cookie-cutter politician. You know, you don't ball your fist up and pound tables.
Not often.
You can. You can when needed.
No, you know, I have family that were in public service. So, you know, whether it was a police officer, border patrol agent, my dad was a prison guard for a while. My grandfather was part of the sheriff's posse when I grew up. So I had a lot of these family members that either it was a job, public service was a job, or it was something that they did in the spare time. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather, his family crest, it's got a quote from Cicero, and I'll paraphrase it. We were not born for ourselves alone. And I don't know I can't pronounce the Latin part of it, but I think that phrase has really driven a lot of what I do. We're not here for ourselves alone. And I look at the loneliness epidemic that you and I have talked about.
Yeah.
I look at people plugging into the social media, and you know, social media is all about engagement, but I'm going to turn that a bit. I think today's social media is all about enragement. It's just about making you angry,
yes,
about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And what we realize is when we get in a room and we talk together, we're so much more alike than what the media portrays us to be. We are all Americans. We're all trying to have a great life for our friends, our family. We're all just trying to get by. And the vast, vast majority of us are working really hard at that. But these engines that, and I'm in the tech world, so I know how this, you know, before I came to the North Texas Commission, I was in IT. Mm-hmm. So I know that these engines are designed to sell your eyeballs, and they found out that making people scared and angry is the best way to keep them locked in to look at ads and to put money in other people's pockets. And I'm against it. We've got to be doing more of what we're doing, which is convening and having conversations and meeting people where they're at and helping them make that. So, I mean, that's really what drives me. And I think what's underlying all of this is I just know how important it is to meet your neighbors, to meet your colleagues and figure out who they are as people and what they're trying to achieve and realize that, hey, it's not a zero sum game. If I can lift you up, you're going to lift me up and we're all going to win.
Exactly. And like you said, social media thought it was going to be about people getting together. And instead it's been a process of getting clickbaits and farming information and I guess they found out that the shortcut is get people angry. And so we've got to teach our kids how to navigate through all of those things and let them know that this is not the way people communicate with each other. It's better in person.
Yeah. We have to be the example of the world we want to see.
Yes. Yes. You are so right. Otherwise, it's not going to be a world we want to see.
And that's right.
That's why I'm glad there's people like you who are here and out and about and getting things done. Again, where can they find more information about the North Texas Commission?
Sure, Chris, they can hop on to ntc-dfw.org or they can just type North Texas Commission in their browser and it's going to find us. If you all have questions or comments, I mean, I love what you do with this podcast, Chris, and with your radio. I mean, your time with the Mavs, it's all, there's another entity that's, about bringing and convening people together, right? Not just on the basketball court, but out in the community. And I think having those conversations and helping people get plugged in is our number one job out here.
Yes, it is. TJ, we got to get you back on the show again real soon. Appreciate all the work, especially your time, talent, and treasure. You're the man.
Hey, thank you, Chris. I appreciate you. You're the man. Thank you so much.
Our next guest is Marjorie Moran. She is the CEO of Dallas After School, and they provide high quality resources and time for children beyond the school day. Marjorie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you on board because I've been so impressed with Dallas After School for so long, maybe for the last 3 or 4 years. Can you talk about the direction of how the school how the after school programs are going for you? Because I think it's just exceptional what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. Things are going extremely well for us. And I say that because after school programs are a necessity in our communities, right? Mm-hmm. It enables parents to stay employed. It gives parents a peace of mind that their children are in a safe and quality program, whether they're doing their homework, also engaging in having fun and learning by programs that we support offering experiential learning opportunities for them. So this has been, Dallas After School has been around for 18 years, and we are a much needed resource in the community. You don't want your child to be in the care in a facility or after school programs where the teachers or the professionals aren't trained. And that is a big resource that Dallas After School offers, is training to those after school professionals.
Yes. In fact, that's one of the things that just so impressed me. It's like you're training the trainer. That's your model, right? And you've had success training up like 350 plus educators.
Yes, 350 plus educators. And I want to point out that while 350 may seem like a small number, each of those individuals, unique individuals that we train, come back for multiple trainings throughout the school year.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, the way you do this, can you explain it to everybody that's listening? Because I think that's also unique and special, and it shows the care and level of commitment that Dallas After School is all about.
Yeah. So while the name Dallas After School, folks may think that we are a direct service provider, that we actually have kiddos on our campus or in our building. We don't. We're a backbone organization. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means we provide the support for those organizations that run after school, summer, or enrichment programs. For instance, it's easy to think of us as consultants. So we have a team of individuals that will visit these programs and provide coaching and mentoring. They'll scope out the space to make sure that even the space that is being used is safe. Do you have fire extinguishers? Do you have a safety, a first aid kit? Do you know that you should not have the little kids playing with the big kids? So things that we don't normally think about in an after-school program, we are there as those consultants to make sure that when a parent or a guardian picks up their kid at the end of the day, they are excited, they have learned, and most of all, they were safe.
And can you talk about how the training that you provide helps those who are learning? I'm not talking about the kids, I'm talking about the educators, how they are able to apply that and get a quality job in a organization or after school program that is a perfect match for them.
Absolutely. So many educators come into the after school field because it fits their schedule. Many after school programs hire part-time individuals. And so folks looking for part-time positions initially that fit their schedule, such as college students, sometimes even retired teachers that still want to give back.
Right.
But going back to those, this may be their first entry point into working with youth. They may know nothing. They may have babysat their niece, nephew, cousin, or done that in their teen years. But you have to understand that a child in an after-school program, no matter the age, has different developmental stages, different age characteristics. And so really being able to teach the educator, you can't expect a five-year-old to act like a 10-year-old. And so really teaching those age-appropriate behaviors, understanding that even shouting at kiddos and saying, "Hey, go sit down," like that's not acceptable, right? Mm-mm. And so training the educators, like you said, Chris, training the trainer is a vital resource that we provide. How do you run a quality after school program? And so in turn, when those educators get the best practices in how to support these after school programs, we actually conducted a study. We found that kids in safe and quality after school programs actually do better in the third and fifth grade in their reading and math TEKS and STAR tests. So there is value in just not plopping somebody into a program and saying, "Here you go, you got 20 kids, take care of them."
Right. I love the whole concept. And can you tell those who aren't familiar with Dallas After School, kind of like the history, who conceived of Dallas After School, how long it's been around? And like you said, the results are there. I mean, I'm so impressed, but I just think it's a great idea. And it's been around for how long?
For 18 years. Dallas After School started in 2007. And it was in response to a study that identified a need for training and resources for after school programs in the city. And not just specifically any after school program, but programs that offer free or low cost services to the most vulnerable communities. So Janet Makoviak and Susan Kiefer attended a symposium where this discussion happened, and they said, "Wow, I can't believe that there is no streamlined communication. There isn't a backbone agency, as I mentioned before, or an organization that can facilitate the training, the resources, and the communication for hundreds of after-school programs in Dallas."
And thus, the need is being met. I just love it.
That's the need is being met.
Love it. And can you talk again as well about some of the things that I call it the belief system that you have, the mission, about the data drives trusted action, the power of the village, the passion fuels our impact, the reimagining, the possibilities for out of school time all over Dallas.
Yes, and those are our values. And we believe that any child, regardless of race, regardless of economic background, deserves to be in a safe and high quality after school program. And Think about it. When your child or a child is in an after-school program, what are we doing? We're building a brighter future, right? Mm-hmm. We're able to amplify the voices of the folks that work in the after-school field. We're able to inform practices, best practices. We have organizations that want to start an after-school program and they have no idea where to begin. Guess what? We provide that training and that resource for you as well, and mobilize change. Childcare is an important issue across the nation.
Yes, it
not
is.
Enough importance is given to it. Think about families who are not able to leave at 3 o'clock to pick up their kiddos from school.
Exactly.
What are they going to do?
Exactly.
You know? Get shorted hours because they've got to pick up their kiddos? No. Having after-school programs mobilizes economic change, and that is something that we stand on as well.
Exactly. And again,
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
This is the 21st century. This is not the 20th century where, you know, dad was the only one that worked, or the traditional family is the cookie cutter family. The families are so different nowadays, and there's still kids that are still involved. And so if there's kids involved, if they're going to be educated and become, you know, valuable members of the society, they have to have help. And it's more so, it's not just, oh, and again, I could even bring up this, and you know this so well. People don't live in the same town that they grew up in. In other words, families are not just down the street anymore. It's like you can't just drop them off at granny's house. I mean, you can't assume that's the situation for everybody anymore. Can you talk about some of those challenges and how you are able to bridge those things? Because I think it's fantastic what you're doing.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. Families don't look like the traditional families that perhaps you and I were raised in. Mm-hmm. It really, when they say it takes a village, it really does. And
exactly.
That village may not be immediate family members.
Mm-hmm.
And the family may not look like the traditional family. You could have guardians that are grandparents that are taking care of their grandchildren. You may have, you know, single parent homes. And so
blended families. Go down the list.
To thrive.
Yeah. Hmm? I was saying blended families as well. You got steps, and I could go on and on and on.
We could go on and on and on. And let me paint this picture. Hardworking, whether you're a single parent household, blended family, you get off at 6, you pick up your kiddos from an after school program, your energy is drained. You've worked all day.
Yeah.
So the impact that your kiddo being in an after school program has, you know that what? They've been fed supper. You know that they've had homework help.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are able to not only also engage in that homework assistance at home, but you know that an individual or professional has helped your child with that. Children spend 80% of their waking hours outside of school. Think about that.
Yeah.
Like when you really think about it, you're like, what? That much?
Yes. Like, and who's watching them? That's what you first thing. Who's watching them?
And who is watching them? And studies have shown that between the hours of 3 to 6, that's when a lot of youth engage in high risk behaviors, right? Mm-hmm. Some are left to fend for themselves at home. And that can be a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
And some families aren't able to afford the high cost of childcare. And so a lot of the programs that we support at Dallas After School are free and low cost. Something that folks don't know is that some programs in Texas, early childhood programs, childcare programs, some of the for-profit after-school programs are licensed. And so low and free cost programs are not licensed, do not have to be licensed in the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so we provide a specific assessment that kind of puts that stamp of approval on a program. We say that you have passed our rigorous assessment and you are a quality program. And so that makes an impact in the community as well, knowing that Dallas After School has put a stamp of approval on this specific program.
Love it. We're talking with Marjorie Murat. She is the Chief Executive Officer at Dallas After School. And Marjorie, you've been in the nonprofit world for a little while. I mean, you're highly decorated. I'm going to give you props right here. 25 years of experience working with nonprofit organizations. You've got your nonprofit leadership certificate from SMU. You got an MA in counseling from Emerson University. Majored in sociology at University of New York College in Cortland. I'm bringing up the sociology part because I minored in sociology, which is the study of human behavior, for those who don't know. Because I was always curious about why people act the way they do. And I think because you've got your degree in this and you're passionate about it as well, you understand that people today live in a gig economy. And and there's different types of income. There's different types of hours that they work. And the thing that a lot of people who have kids have to deal with, you mentioned 80% of the time the kids have, they're out there not on their own, but they're not in school. And so I think the fact that I think you're a perfect fit for what you're doing. But I wanted to ask you about how modern technology, social media and those things, like I said, we're talking about sociology as well here, impacts the kids who are not around other kids in an environment like an after school program. I mean, because I think it's huge that a lot of parents, no matter the type of parents they are, single family, blended family, whatever, they just hand the kid the tablet and then the kid is off to the races, who knows where, doing what, online.
I agree with you. And sociology, like you said, is the study of human behavior. And kids need socialization.
Yes.
Socialization.
Yes, yes, yes.
But what type do they need? You know, social media, being on a tablet, and I'm not against it, but it gives a false sense of reality.
Correct.
People need people, right?
Yes, yes.
People don't need the computer to teach them life skills. How can a computer teach you those things? How can a computer teach you how to socialize with another individual?
Correct.
You know, I read an interesting article in the New York Times actually about, you know, some of this younger generation, the socialization skill may not be like how it was for us. Our age is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And being on different platforms creates a false sense of identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so after school programs, some of the curriculum that we develop and that we disperse to our after school partners are about identity. Who are you? Who are you past a facade of social media or posting all the happy things? Let's take a deep dive into your character, how you respond to things, how does life integrate into other aspects for you? And so, like I said, being in an after-school program, having those adults that support you plays such a critical role in the development of a child. You may have a kiddo who plays up to the facade, let's say, of being on social media and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
but where can they be their true self? We've heard so many stories of students who can be their true self in an after-school program. Why? Because they have found a caring adult. They have found an adult that makes them feel safe, that they can share maybe some of their deepest fears with, or their true self with them. And so that is why it's important to train those educators as well. Because if you have educators who aren't, let's say, emotionally regulated, how are you going to teach a child how to be emotionally regulated
exactly.
if you aren't? And so those critical trainings and resources that we provide, it really is about really advocating and being for the whole child.
You said that so well. And again, social media is not the real world. It's just not. And the only way you can navigate the real world and interact with people is to be around people, and especially at an early age. You cannot assume that technology can raise your kids. They might have the information, but they can't raise your kids, especially when there's a lot of things on the different platforms that aren't necessarily real. They're driven by AI, or they're driven by, more specifically, algorithms, because you might have liked a picture of a purse. Then all of a sudden you're bombarded all these purses. It's like, wait a minute. That's not what I just wanted to see what it looked like.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't going to buy a bunch of purses. That's not my hobby.
Can social media teach you how to look a person in the eye when you're having a conversation?
Exactly.
Can it teach you when you walk into a room that you greet the folks in the room? Like, can that be taught? But those are all things that I feel communities and families that engage in after school programs, they see the value in that. They see the value in those programs, being able to teach their kiddos those skills.
So Marjorie, what drew you to Dallas After School, or did Dallas After School search and found you? Because it's a perfect match.
It really is a perfect match. And as you mentioned earlier, Chris, my entire professional career has been in nonprofit. I've been drawn to human service, mm-hmm. human behavior, and education. So as a first-generation American, education was extremely important in my family growing up. And my parents engaged us in enrichment activities, music, sports, mm-hmm. art, you name it, we were in it. And I saw the value of just not learning in the home, but learning from other individuals and learning about things outside of the home as well. And so it began for me at a very young age, the importance of education and being able to engage in experiential learning opportunities, because I really feel like it made me a well-rounded adult. You
yes.
know, I can talk about playing the piano. I can speak mm-hmm. another language. Mm-hmm. I'm not super creative, I'll tell you that, but, you know, explore the world. And while some of our kiddos cannot travel and explore the world, one of the resources we provide at Dallas After School are virtual reality and augmented reality kits, where they are able to go to the Taj Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to sit on a plane and get that experience. And hopefully one day that plants a seed in them that they say, you know what, I am actually going to step out of this bubble and explore and see the world, or try biology or dissecting a frog. We have all of those resources for kiddos, so that while they may not be able to right now do those things firsthand, we have resources where they're able to experience that and engage in that.
You mentioned the resources.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing right here where, you know, your reach has now expanded to 270 programs, positively
yes.
impacting 19,000 children in our community.
Yes.
Again, what you're doing is sensational. It's exceptional. And I'm so glad you're around. I know there's some success stories. Is there a success story or two that you'd like to share about what Dallas After School has done for maybe some kids or family?
Absolutely. We always have success stories. And the most recent one that comes to mind was a young girl who was in a after school program at a program that Dallas After School supports.
Mm-hmm.
From a young age, she was part of the after school program at this community-based organization. And I knew this young lady as well because I worked at the community-based organization. And maybe about 3 weeks ago, I ran into her in our building at Dallas After School. She was attending one of our trainings.
Wow.
And yes.
Full circle.
And I looked at her and I said, oh my gosh, I probably went a little crazy. She's probably like, oh my gosh, what is going on? I was like, do you remember me? And I knew her as a middle school student. And she's like, of course I do. So I said, what are you doing now? What is up? Well, this beautiful young lady stayed in education because of the impact that being in an after-school program had on her life. She is now a teacher at a preparatory school, and she told me it is because of her experiences in an after school program, and as a middle school student, she saw Dallas after school staff coming in and providing support and trainings that led her to continue to want to have that impact on another young child's life. And wow. It really brought tears in my eyes, because mm-hmm. many people start in after school just thinking, okay, it's going to help me while I get through college and things like that, but it can also be a career. And I think folks don't understand that it doesn't have to be just a starting point, it can be an ending point as well. So that is one young student, and like I said, this just happened just a few weeks ago, and after so many years I was like, I remembered her from this little middle school.
That is awesome. I love those stories. Crazy. I love those stories. And you touched a little while ago about, I guess you were talking about the virtual reality kit, when, you know, mm-hmm. the kids can, like I said, get the virtual experiences and the whole nine yards. You also have some other things I find so fascinating and awesome. Of course, you got the STEM activities. And yes. is that called the Wonder Kits?
Wonder Kits, yes. That is our little contribution and mm-hmm. a source of earned revenue. Folks can actually purchase those, mm-hmm. but they're basically STEM kits in a box, and they were created to inspire curiosity. And that is a free resource for those after school programs who partner with us, but school districts across the nation have purchased those from us as well. And each of those kits, kids learn from them. There's new vocabulary in those kits. Mm-hmm. The kids tie to a STEM profession that they can learn about, and they actually engage in a hands-on experiment in those kits as well.
That's wild. That's wild. And speaking of STEM, you got a RoboGrow curriculum with robotics. Can you talk about that a little bit, and plants?
Yeah. So it ties into aquaponics. If you're familiar with that, but the students get to grow seeds. They get to grow from seeds to a plant, but they use a robot to do all of that. They time it, they schedule it for it to water the plant and whatnot. So we were able to, at Dallas After School, build out this curriculum. We have a wonderful, wonderful resource team made of such amazing creative minds that come up with these resources and curriculum. And the part two to that is, once they have grown the plant, they can actually take the leaf, mm-hmm. and we have microscopes that we lend out to the programs where they can actually look at this plant under a microscope and see the different components of this plant.
Wow.
And I tell you, Chris, when we received this donation, generous donation of microscopes, even some of my staff had never looked in a microscope.
What You're a disadvantage, kidding.
Right? So you can think of the kiddos
right.
engage in this. And they're like, how do I look into this? I don't know. I think it's so blurry.
You know, it's so funny you mentioned that, because I'm thinking, I know I've looked in a microscope, but it's been since I was a kid or something. It's like, that's what made me like, oh my goodness. Because I can imagine staff have never done that before or something, because it's rare.
It's rare. So think about the kiddo who looks into a microscope for the uh-huh. first time, sees a whole new world of, this is what a plant is made up of.
Yeah.
It leads them into loving biology and becoming a researcher or a medical doctor mm-hmm. or a dentist or something in the STEM field. This is what we do, and this is why I'm so passionate about the work that we do.
Oh, I love it. And there's one more I want to get into, the Calm Kits, because I thought that's also very, very, very important.
Yes. So our Calm Kits almost look like a miniature toy box. And we have to educate the kiddos, these are not toys. Mm-hmm. These are manipulatives, things mm-hmm. to help you emotionally regulate. Think about the kiddo who is in a classroom all day at the desk, can't really get up and explore or do anything, but they need something to distract them mm-hmm. so that they can focus. Sometimes people click a pen. Remember, have you ever been in meetings where people are clicking pens?
Yeah. Executives do that. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and it may not be because the person is bored or not paying attention. This may be something that they need to do to help them focus. Or the person who's always bouncing their leg up and
I was
down.
about to say the same thing. I said, and those that
Yeah.
bounce their legs, they're just
Exactly.
focusing.
And so we train professionals to say, you know what? If the kiddo wants to get up and click the pen or take one of these manipulatives, kind of like the punchy box or whatever, but stand while you're teaching class, that is okay. Don't force the child to sit. They're not being a distractor. So these Calm Kits not only have kind of like we don't put the clicky pens in there. But the cubes that have like the little like the locks that you can spin,
Little fidget
fidget toys.
toys. You have
Exactly.
stress
Fidget
balls.
toys, stress balls, all of that. And also for the educator, we include breathing cards in there. So when kids are, their brain is going and they're starting to get really hyped up, the educator can pull out a card and say, we are going to engage in a breathing exercise. Kind of like yoga, meditation. And so these are handy tools that we're able to provide to partners that we support when things are starting to get a little chaotic. They can bring it in, grab this calm kit, and pull something out of there, and the kids engage. And it really just brings them down. Like I said, it's about emotional regulation.
The things you guys have is just so amazing. The things you do is so exceptional. She is the CEO of Dallas After School, Marjorie Murat. Marjorie, what's the website again? And then thank you again for being with us.
Thank you, Chris. It is dallasafterschool.org is where you can find us, my team, where you can donate, find out about upcoming events, and also sign up for my newsletter. I do put out a monthly newsletter with all the wonderful things happening at Dallas After School, and that is the best way to keep in touch with us.
That's right. All about providing high quality resources and time for children beyond the school day. Again, Marjorie, we got to get you back on the show real soon because what you're doing is so exceptional and amazing. You'll always be surprised who's listening to this show and might want to help you out some kind of way or even volunteer.
I appreciate that, Chris, and thank you so much for having me.
All right. And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. We'll have more information about more great things all the rest of this summer. I'm Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.